Welcome to The Odds Couple, a presentation of ESPN Chicago. The Odds Couple is brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino Las Vegas. The Odds Couple. Here's your host, Mike North and Carmen DeFalco.
Welcome into your weekend. Time for another episode of The Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino. Mike North and Carmen DeFalco rolling into a loaded weekend. Selection Sunday upon us. Conference championship games, semifinal games, quarterfinal games. We've got so much to get after, Mike, including a lot of underdogs making runs in their respective tournaments, trying to burst some bubbles, trying to get into the big dance. And it has already been a fun couple of days with a big weekend on the horizon, my friend. So we've got a lot to get after today.
Yeah, and it's great to talk to you, Carm. Great to talk to our esteemed producer, executive producer Eric Ostrowski, and all you folks out there. I got to tell you straight up, folks. Forget about March Madness. Forget about all that. I'm having more fun watching these tournaments. You don't have Clark Kellogg and Sepp Davis every 10 minutes telling you what's got to be done and that it doesn't get done. You just go from game to game. Sometimes you have to watch on ESPN, Plus, or sometimes you got to just look for the games. But I've been having the time of my life, been winning, and I'm gold at the 11 o'clock unders.
Oh, I love that.
Well, I mean, I remember my own experiences. The worst thing you could have on a day, on a Saturday, in a tournament or anything else, in any kind of sport you played, was the first game, you know, because you'd probably been out the night before. The guys are up watching tape and everything else. All the unders been coming in. It's crazy, and it's fun.
Mike and I start taping every Friday around 10, so an hour in Minneapolis, we got Purdue and Michigan State getting going, and you got Mississippi State and Tennessee about an hour after that. And
I'll give you one better. I got a 2:30 game for the bonus pick today.
I love that.
It's
okay.
Done already. I got a parlay special so people can listen to Carmen and Yurko, and then the next thing you know, Mike got both right. What a bonus day this has been.
Don't miss that, folks. So at 145, Mike hit the bonus play again last week.
Well, you know what happened? I went
right. Oh, no. Yeah, that was the stupid overtime game.
There you go.
That was ridiculous.
I had it called.
You did have it called, and I was with you on it. It was ridiculous.
I went 1-1 with the golf, so I'm 3-4. You could take that, my games, or you can go against me. I want to see if you can actually win betting golf right now. If you were going against me, you'd be 4-3. It's no big deal. But here's what I had. I had the under in that game.
I was with you on it. And I'm watching it, and I'm like, oh, this is golden.
It's gold. 97-96. What does Rudy Gobert do?
I know.
It's a bad call. He gives the money sign, you know?
Yes, technical.
What about the money?
Technical.
The refs get him a tech.
Yes.
They go into overtime. The game's over.
Yes. It was brutal, Mike.
Yep.
And
It's
a bad beat. The Timberwolves are.
You can't help when a guy's a jerk.
You can't. They're a bunch of knuckleheads most of the time anyway. And I'm watching that game. I bet it with Mike. I'm like, oh, Mike had hit another bonus play. This is easy peasy.
Would have been 3 in a row.
I swear to God, when Gobert got that technical, I'm like, watch this somehow come back to screw us. And it did. It was ridiculous.
But Mike, 1 point, if he doesn't get that tech, we win by one.
Mike handicapped that one properly. That's all I'm saying, folks. And then knucklehead things sometimes happen. That was the Cavs Timberwolves last week.
And you know what? That right there, I made the decision. They'll never win anything.
I know.
They'll never win anything.
It drives
me
nuts.
The one kid that likes to hold on to the ball. Towns is injured. And, you know, I always like the guy that you can predict where he's going to be. You don't know if Towns, once he comes back, is going to shoot a three, or if he's underneath the basket. You can't find him sometimes. It's just crazy. He's a good player. But I just don't see a good mix over there. Although I love their defense.
Yeah,
their
D's
good.
Wings.
Yeah. They got it. But that is such a stacked league. And by the way, folks, I watched Denver the other night play Miami.
I'm telling you.
And they sent a message to everybody by actually playing D the whole game and stopping Miami and going under in that game. It was a wonderful game. Jokic didn't even – the Joker didn't even care about points or anything else. They are going to be tough to beat because of the unselfishness and the actual coming to play every night in that team. They don't take no nights off.
No, and they're down to about 3, maybe plus 325, 3-1, plus 325 to win the title. Still behind the Celtics, but that's the team I like. I'm with Mike.
Do you have any idea what the Bears are doing?
All right, I'm glad you did that. I wanted to segue there real quick because they made a trade late yesterday for Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
I suppose
he's got gray in his beard.
Yeah, he's going to be 32 in a month. Yeah, He's going to be 32.
But he's a good receiver.
But, he had like 1,100 yards in 13 games last year.
With Justin Herbert throwing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's the problem.
Fair.
He didn't come with them. And here's another thing. He's played his whole career in San Diego and Los Angeles, and he's going to leave Justin Herbert because Harbaugh asked him to take a pay cut, and he said no. And here's what I'm hearing, because we used to work at Fox Sports Radio. I got some friends over there. There's a chance he was going to be cut, just like Russell Wilson was. And then what was going to happen? They were going to let him go and pay the salary, but then who was going to get him? Mm. This way the Bears assured themselves of this guy,
right. But
they gave up a fourth rounder when maybe they could have gotten him on the cheap off the waiver wire.
Or you could have just went, and I don't think he's quite as good, but he's younger and he's a little bit more injury prone. You could have gone out and signed Mike Williams if you wanted, because
Absolutely.
They already cut Mike Williams. Look, Keenan Allen's terrific, and on a one-year deal,
he's in a different spot, man.
He is, and I think a lot of it has to do with whether it's Justin or a new young quarterback. I think a lot of it is trying to continue to do things to help whichever quarterback they're going to have under center next year.
But that wasn't his plan. He'd still be up there at L.A. If Harbaugh says, I'll pay you the $22 million,
they
wanted him to take a cut. And believe me, folks, I've been there. You don't want to take a cut. The problem is, when you don't take that cut, they were probably saying, you know what, hopefully he won't take the cut because we'll cut him anyway.
Hmm.
And we'll eat his salary. And the next thing I know, the Bears go trade a fourth-round pick for him. I know they got picks, but you might have been able to get him a little cheaper.
The Bears are down to just 4 draft picks. That's assuming they don't...
They better work on the lines, man.
Yeah, I mean, the latest mock I saw, actually...
I like their tackles, their guards. I'm not sold on. I know they picked up the one kid, but he's a center or guard.
Right.
But is he going to play center for him? I still think there's some unanswered questions on the line.
I think there are, too, although
Except
they added...
Except their tackles. Very good.
They added another center yesterday to come in and try to compete with Ryan Bates, and it's the kid out of L.A., the Rams, and he knows the offense, obviously. So, just 4 picks, and now everybody says this draft is pretty much after the fourth round. There's a precipitous fall-off, so maybe the Bears are very calculated in the way they're doing this. All 4 of their picks are in the top 122 selections, and maybe they don't see a lot of value in the later rounds in this draft, and they're like, we'll get everything we need to get done in those 4 picks. I don't know.
Just like Allen Robinson, he was used to one quarterback. They got a new quarterback in, and he caught less passes. There's no way this new receiver of ours from L.A. with the wind, with the chill. He's never played home games in weather under 60. Okay? It's going to be a different type of thing. I remember Curtis Conway when the Bears drafted him.
Oh, I hated it, remember?
Saying it's too cold.
Yeah, I know.
It's too windy. And this guy's going to now of the frigid air, not really cold, but just a different dynamic with 2 quarterbacks, maybe. I mean, I can't believe Fields is still there. I can't. If they didn't cut him, then they're keeping him.
I don't know what they're going to do. I really don't at this point.
Well, the rest of the league finally caught up with the Bear fans and the media saying he's not the guy unless the Bears all along have never even dangled him, and they're sticking with Fields, and they're going to maybe bring somebody else in.
Right. I don't know. I mean,
that's the problem. He didn't make it, so now everybody's wondering what they're going to do. If he would have been heads and tails any good, we wouldn't even be having this discussion right now.
I mean, Sam Howell's getting traded, for crying out loud.
Oh, my God.
Teams are signing Sam Darnold for $10 million. It's like
Sam Darnold threw me for a loop. It actually threw me for a loop. I said, it's that bad. Jeez. It's that bad that Justin Fields, what did everybody miss except me? What did everybody miss with this kid unless he's a running back type of passing guy that you've added some, and DJ Moore had a good year. What does the new receiver do? He's not the big jumper. He's not the big leaper, but he can catch.
Yeah, he's got sure hands.
And he's a first down guy.
Yep.
You need a first down?
Yeah.
This guy, Keenan Allen, can get it for you. I'm not saying he's a bad acquisition.
Yeah.
I just say we gave up a little bit too much, but we'll see what happens.
Guy's caught 70% of his targets over his career. You're right about that. He's also, like Mike said, he's never played, not since college anyway, outside of California. He played at Cal, and then he's played his whole pro career in California. So
adjustment's going to be a year at best. I'm predicting, if he catches 65-70 balls, because, injuries come into play here, too, and everything else, I'd be happy. He's more of a possession guy now.
Yeah, he is. He's definitely a little bit more in that sort of, like, Look, the guy has, if he plays a whole season, you could pretty much pencil him in for 100 catches. Into that category for me, Mike.
I would say that, but you got DJ Moore that's going to take up some of that. You got Kmet that's going to take some of that. And then you got maybe an unproven quarterback as your starter, or maybe a guy that's close to a bust still there. Period. Yeah. I don't hear anything else. It's either Williams or Fields. What the hell's going on?
I think it's either one of those two. You're right.
Wow. Or I hope maybe they shock us. Maybe they see something else in one of these other quarterbacks. Because I don't like Williams. I'd rather stay with Fields. That's my opinion.
All right, coming up next, we are going to talk to Luke Pergandy from Prop Swap. We got some NCAA tournament action to talk about here, conference tournament action this weekend. Some other big picture stuff with Luke. I got a few NBA things I want to kick around with Mike. He was talking about unders and this, you know, this trend that we're seeing now post All-Star break where it looks like
defense.
Yeah, it looks like Adam Silver told his officials, okay, this has got to, we got to fix this. We've got to find some way to pit it back.
Hey, I got one for you. Ready? The Knicks are 26-9 on the under their last 35 games.
I have a note written down about the Knicks. It's funny you bring that up. Yep. I also have the Knicks. I know. I love that. All right, so we got a lot to get after, folks. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. We are the Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino.
This is the Odds Couple with Carmen DeFalco and Mike North on ESPN 1000.
Welcome back inside this week's episode of the Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino. Mike and Carmen with you each and every week. Catch up on demand on the ESPN Chicago app. This weekend on Saturday, on the 16th, as you celebrate your St. Paddy's weekend, you can catch the encore replay at 2 in the afternoon after White Sox Weekly on AM 1000 and FM 100.3 HD2. Let's get out to one of our favorite guests. He's a weekly contributor, one of the founding members of PropSwap.com and the free and easy to use PropSwap app. Tournament time, make sure you have it. It's Luke Pergandy, everybody.
Hi, guys.
How are you, buddy? We're excited. Selection Sunday's around the corner. Conference tournament action has been a lot of fun. Your Wildcats advanced last night. They're sort of playing out the string out in your old stomping grounds out in Vegas with the Pac-12 tournament. I would ask you just about your Wildcats and their, how you think they're going to fare in this tournament. And just kind of like as a Pac-12 guy, you went to college out there, Luke, that it's all kind of coming to an end. I mean, it really is in a way. It's kind of odd to say it. It's sad. The Pac-12 is over 100 years old, and this is it. They're just like playing out the string, right?
Totally. Yeah. No, it is. I mean, to have like all of those rivalries between Washington, Oregon, California, Arizona, like that was cool. I thought it was cool to see the West Coast teams play each other, the home and homes, and you know, Tucson versus LA, and USC's football dominance in the early 2000s. It was cool. It's sad to see it come to an end. And we're not the only conference that has been dismantled. So of course Arizona is going to the Big 12 next year. I mean that conference in basketball is just going to be an absolute juggernaut. Houston, Kansas, Arizona, Baylor. I mean, just, and to me, the best conference in basketball easily. I can make the argument it is this year, and then you're going to add in a 2-2 like Arizona, maybe a 1 if Tennessee fumbles the SEC tournament. But, yeah, it's sad to see, but, that's welcome to college sports in 2024.
Mm. Yeah, you know what? It's going to be something when they're out recruiting, telling the kid at UCLA he could play on the West Coast, except for the November 15th game at Rutgers. But things have really changed where, you know, it used to be the geography was more, and that's how rivalries were built. But forget about all that. Let's talk about the tournament right now. I think it's so underrated. I mean, everybody thinks and talks about March Madness. There are some people that even want to expand it. They want to even add more power conference teams. They must have missed the last 3-4 years where teams from minor conferences are getting into the Final Four and the Sweet Eight. Is this tournament underrated? I mean, championship week compared to March Madness, because I get up and there's a game from 10:30 all the way till 10 tonight every single day, Luke.
Yeah. No, I mean, we talked last week, conference tournaments are relevant. Like we said, four of the Elite Eight teams won their conference tournament. So it's super relevant this weekend. And I would say, I'm telling you right now, get your futures fixed now before the bracket gets set on Sunday night. If you can find a team, like I said, we've I've stuck on Florida Atlantic. I still think they're good at 100-1, but we're selling tons of different teams. Kentucky, we're selling lots of. Kansas, we're selling a little bit of. Obviously, Arizona, Purdue, the big guys, Tennessee. Bracket gets set soon. So, kind of pick your ponies before that gets set, because it could go the other way. You can make a future at 100-1. The team goes to 125-1. They run into a Purdue or Houston or UConn early. But, I would just say keep an eye on the conference tournaments this weekend.
A blue blood cut down the nets last year when UConn won. Mm-hmm. And I think more often than not, guys, we still see sort of those blue blood programs ultimately win this thing. It's not always, but it definitely kind of feels like most of the time, even with all the upsets and in a changing landscape in the last 10 or 15 years, those blue bloods make it. But when you look at the Final Four, I guess to Luke's point last year,
Loyola.
Well, Loyola a few years ago, while you had a blue blood cut down the nets, the other three entrants were all first-time Final Four teams, weren't they? I believe they were.
I don't understand why this guy, the commissioner, is saying we need more blue bloods when there's a lot of parity. Mm-hmm. Luke and these teams like Loyola, although we won't talk about the biggest gag job.
Boy, that was a tough one last night.
Oh, they didn't score. They missed 0-for-15 and didn't score for 7 minutes, went double overtime, ruined the under, and lost the game.
Yeah.
But the blue bloods, I mean, now, like you always say, Luke, it's more wide open for the 30, 40, 50-1 shots than ever before.
Yeah. No, I mean, last year, three out of the four, San Diego State 100-1, Miami 75-1, and Florida Atlantic 500-1, all got to the Final Four. I honestly think, like I said, outside of UConn and Houston, I think we could see something like that again. Hmm. We talked about it. We talked about this last year. I don't know if you guys remember this, but we were talking, this could be a historic tournament for upsets, and that's exactly what happened. I don't know that, last year was the most in history. I don't know that we'll do that again, but I really believe there'll be a ton of upsets this year. I don't trust Purdue. I sat next to a kid from Purdue on a flight last night. He's like, I don't trust this team at all. Mm. I agree with them. I don't think Zach Edey can run the court. I just don't think they're built for postseason. So if a one seed goes down to a 16 again, like they did last year, I mean, this thing gets wide open real quick.
Yeah, I think this is a good point you're making. I mean, and like Luke said, even before Selection Sunday, find one of those teams. Take a flyer, and if upsets happen and a team makes a run, that's what the app is there for. You could sell it. I mean, when you hear Luke say 500-1 last year, the people that had any sort of sense at all on Florida Atlantic, I mean, they really cashed in. Did you guys sell a lot of Florida Atlantic last year? Did people have those tickets?
We sold a $100 ticket for $10,000.
I mean, there you go,
on
folks.
Florida Atlantic, we sold a San Diego State ticket, $250 into like $7,000 once they got to the Final Four.
There you go.
And then Miami, the $150 ticket into $4,000. I mean, people made a ton of money at all these teams, and they sold it exactly the right time once that Final Four was set.
Well, there you go. So do the same thing again this year. It gets lost in the shuffle, I feel like, a little bit, but for a few reasons. We got college tournaments. We got Selection Sunday coming up. Not all the best players are there because of the divide between the PGA Tour and LIV, but it is Players' Championship weekend, too. I know the big golf tournaments are usually pretty fun for you guys.
Had a good day yesterday. Yeah. It's a good time.
For sure, yeah. I know, I think JT was playing well. I'm looking at the odds for it. So Scheffler's plus 350. You got Rory at plus 400. Xander plus 650. I mean, that's a loaded top four. I was wrong on JT. JT's not up there. But, let's Wyndham Clark at 11-1. I mean, it's fun. Golf is a blast to bet
on. The best. The matchups, I'm there all day. I watched the golf yesterday. I had five different matches going one-on-one.
I love
did
how
okay.
Mike loves that.
Went 3-2. But, I mean, some guys should get early, and then you got to stick around for the guys that are playing better late. That doesn't happen until Saturday. But today I'm going to give a couple matches right here. It's really, they're so worried about the interest in golf and what they got to do to bring in the public. I think gambling, even with the Golf Channel, could do more. Don't you, Luke?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's LIV as thought. When LIV first got announced, I thought this was going to just like take over gambling on golf. We just haven't got there. We've talked about that a couple of times. Just I think the distribution on TV is one of the reasons.
Yeah, right.
But I think they are, the PGA is astutely aware that gambling is the future of this sport, and the more you can get gamblers involved into the sport, the better it is for the game overall. So I know that they're working on it, as opposed to, of course, the leagues, you know, before 2018, which were super anti-gambling, and all of a sudden gambling gets legalized, and now the NFL has the Super Bowl in Vegas, and the attitude completely changes 180 degrees.
Unless there was a major, I would never sit through golf like I sit through it now, because you got money on the line.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. And that's the name of the game. And that's why someone would watch a Colts Falcons game late in the season. Like, unless you've got money on it, you're not watching that football game.
Yeah, it's a good point. All right, Luke, have a great weekend. Good luck to your Wildcats the rest of the weekend. And we will talk to you, and we'll break down tournament action next Friday, okay?
Yeah, we'll be rolling.
All right, buddy. There he is. There's Luke Pergandy on the CarX Tire and Auto Guest Hotline. All right, let's jump into a few of the matchups when we come back for today and the weekend. You got some really interesting ones in the Big Ten, in the Big East, obviously. So we're going to get after all of that. And also coming up, I want to talk some NBA and the post-All-Star break trend of lower scoring games and all the unders that have been cashing. So we're going to do that when we come back next. Jim Miller's got ponies a little bit later on, and we're going to give you some best plays before we're out of here. So a lot to come. Don't go anywhere. It's Mike and Carmen cruising along. We're the Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino.
You're listening to The Odds Couple
with Carmen DeFalco and Mike North
on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Welcome back inside this week's episode of The Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino, along with Mike North. I'm Carmen DeFalco. Follow us on Twitter, or X. Mikey is at North to North. I'm at Carmen DeFalco. Of course, catch up all weekend with the ESPN Chicago app. You can catch up on demand, all the great original programming, like The Odds Couple, and all the other great things that you can find there on the app. Plus, you can catch up on all the shows. Encore Replay hits the air Saturday afternoon at 2, right after White Sox Weekly. Chris Bleck had a request for us this week. And
really?
I said,
I love Chris.
He did. He said, you and Mike need to talk about this. What has happened here in the second half of the NBA season? And, you know,
I brought it up earlier.
Yeah, Mike did. And I did some research last night. I pulled some numbers.
I love when you do research.
This is all stuff from ESPN Stats and Info and Second Spectrum Sports and Basketball Reference. The first half of the season this year, of course, we saw the highest per-game scoring average in the NBA in over 50 years. Post-All-Star break, games are down almost 4 points per game. We've seen a very big decline in free-throw attempts per game, Mike.
Listen, and they're killing guys underneath. They're fouling now like the old days, like the 80s, and they're not being called in a lot of games. Folks, I watch basketball every single night, whether it's NCAA or whether it's the NBA, and they are letting stuff go that they were not letting go. They were calling fouls before the All-Star break. Carm will know this. If you brushed against somebody.
Even the way they're letting guards sort of guard the perimeter now is different. And pre-All-Star break, there was only one team in the NBA, one out of 30, that was averaging fewer than 20 free throw attempts per game. Since the break, and I know some of this, you know, you could say, well, all right, Carm, the sample's small. Some of this is anecdotal. Since the break, there are 17 teams averaging fewer than 20 free throws per game. And if you look at the 15 players that have seen the biggest decline in their average number of free throw attempts per game since February 1st, which is even before the All-Star break, to Mike's point, even before that, 10 of the 15 are guards. All right, so it looks like Adam Silver was just fed up and finally said to his officials, we're going to have to swallow the whistle more and let these guys play a little bit more defense.
Well, because he heard from Steve Kerr, he heard from some of his named coaches. He heard from Popovich. I mean, Kerr was public about it. He goes, defense is gone. And, you know, you don't have to be a genius to have watched the games. I mean, Carm knows. We've been critical of it the last couple of years. I've been really down on the lack of intensity. I watched them the other night, the Nuggets against the Heat. Mm. They played. They had almost their hands on the floor. They were in that crouch position from the time they got over the midcourt line. Denver was guarding. Mm. I mean, so somewhere the word got out Let's play like we want to compete, guys, and that we want to win the games.
Yeah, and let's balance it out maybe a little. Yep. I wondered what all of it, you know, how it would relate back to gambling. What did some of the totals look like? What is the trend in terms of overs, unders? Well, games in the second half as of this morning are 104-65 to the under. So yep. It has been a cash machine. I checked in with our buddy Todd Furman out in Vegas, and Todd said, full disclosure, he goes, I really do not gamble on the NBA. But he said, out there, the general consensus is that the books have still been a little slow to react to adjusting the totals, Mike. So a lot of the pro bettors have cashed in betting these unders. Mike mentioned the Knicks earlier. They've seen 10 of their last 11 games go under. They've held four straight opponents to under 100 points. That's unheard of in this era, Mike.
26-7 or something like that to the under in their last 33 games.
Incredible.
I mean, unless I heard wrong, and I heard a couple different NBA shows talk about it. Yeah, folks, I don't just play Golden Tee all day or go to breakfast with Eric Ostrowski, where we had plates of bacon yesterday at the brunch cafe and one strawberry, because you got to balance it out. We drank some coffee. But you know what? Then I come home and I bet. I understand I have a great life. But you know what? We put work into this. There's a different difference.
Yeah.
Even Joker is having more trouble now. The one thing you can't do to him, Spoelstra got out coached the other night. They were too out to stop him. That team is great.
Yeah, they're great.
Nobody knows who they are. That's the problem. I'm talking about the other guys, the Murrays of the world, the Porters of the world.
Yeah.
These guys can play, but they got that one superstar. Yes, I'm going to say this. That's once in a generation. Mm. This guy is unbelievable and unselfish, and he don't care. He just wants to win.
He really is unbelievable.
He wants to win.
They're going to be tough to beat if they stay healthy. If Gordon and Murray stay healthy, and of course Joker, if Gordon and Murray stay healthy, they're going to be tough.
I am ready to put money on them right now.
I'm with you.
And I'm telling you, I'm ready to put money on UConn. I'm ready. I think Houston, the climb is going to wear them out at the end.
Yeah.
I do. I just think UConn's the better team. Nothing against Houston. I just think they're better. And I love Sampson. And I the same goes for Hurley.
This is I love Hurley. This is a good segue. Let's get into some hoops then. That's a perfect segue. Mm-hmm. Big East tournament. This is the first time, believe it or not, Mike, in like 25 years that St. John's has made the semis.
Where's all the apologies to Pitino? He knows how to handle a team. Not everybody. I don't think you and I made that big a deal out of him yelling and telling the nation. My kids suck.
I mean, listen, since he fired on them,
6-0.
They've won six straight, right? I mean, since he did it, they've won six in a row. He's one of the great, like, in-game strategists.
He's the greatest in-game strategist, maybe, outside of Knight, whoever lived in.
Yeah, I think you might be right. So the Red Storm, they'll be on their home floor, obviously. They're in the Garden. That game's later today.
When did they change the name?
Oh God.
Maybe 40 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, Mike, it's been...
I just stopped using it. I used to call it the other one.
Just call it the Johnnies, that's all.
That's all.
St. John's is getting 9.5 later today. You know, they actually hung tough in the regular season in the two games against the Huskies.
Yeah, things got carried away at the end.
They lost by 4 in the first meeting in December. But Mike's right, it was a 6-point game with like 10 minutes to go, and they just sort of they lost their grip on it in the second meeting a couple of months ago. But, man, UConn, you're not kidding. UConn's lost one game since Christmas, Mike. They're 21-11 against the spread.
I want to say something, too, Carmen. It's nothing against the newly hired Bob Holtman. But to not hire Tommy Kleinschmidt, who won two straight state championships, now is 51 years old, who would recruit the hell out of this state and is nationally known as a highly recognizable next-step big coach, to say you needed somebody with more experience when the team won three games all year long. He knows how to coach. I've competed with Tommy.
Yeah.
I've competed against Tommy. He's a legend in this town. He would have actually gotten me to go to wherever that arena is. Nobody knows. And I just think it's an oversight. This man got fired, just saying, this year, and now Ohio State is a different ball club, and they're rolling. And they're rolling.
So Chris Holtman gets the DePaul job.
Oh,
that's what Mike's talking about.
Doesn't move the needle, Carm. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, he's coached at Butler in Ohio State. I don't follow college basketball closely enough to
There were clubhouse problems and issues.
Yeah.
He got fired 6 weeks ago. They were lost. Nobody gave them a chance. I'm watching them. I'm going to watch them today with a new interim coach. They're playing some of the best basketball in the country.
The sad thing about all of this, wow. And I know Mike will agree, and Mike goes back to when they were really in their heyday.
Bigger than the Bulls in the 80s.
Oh, right. Yeah, before Michael, absolutely, right? I mean,
they owned this town, WGN, and you got, I don't care who this guy is, the AD, you missed this one. And they said, Tommy, I know this one kid who predicted this. Well, I didn't know he was the manager up until 2016. I want to credit him on Twitter. DePaul, anybody who says his name is DePaul Tommy, you know he's got the inside track on things. He said this was going to happen. I couldn't believe it. You got to build this program, and you got to get Illinois kids to buy in.
Yeah,
coming from outside.
They've become such an afterthought. I was telling the story yesterday on the air. When I was first getting into the business, and I was working for Giangreco late 90s, and when Mark sent me to the Horizon on a Saturday afternoon with Larry Snyder, he said, you guys have to go log the game and get post game of DePaul, I was like, this is incredible. I'm going to see DePaul, Quentin Richardson,
yep.
Bobby Simmons, Pat Kennedy. I'm like, this is amazing. What an assignment. Lance Stevenson, absolutely. Mike, I didn't watch 1 minute of DePaul basketball this
Not
year.
Me
Not
either.
One, Mike.
This hire is so DePaul the last 35 years. I'm sorry. You do not pass Tommy Kleinschmidt up. This is a below mid-level job.
And where's Tommy Coach? Tommy coaches high school, right?
He coaches at DePaul Academy.
Okay.
They don't even have their own gym. They've won 2 straight championships. They went downstate twice. Mm. He built the program. He's renowned. Everybody. He used to go to the projects when he was in high school and play for Gordon Tech and play against the black kids. And he was like a Larry Bird type. And then he plays for DePaul. He's got a championship pedigree. He's a great coach, and he's a neighborhood guy. I don't know how much out of touch you got to be to make this hire of a guy because he got a $12 million buyout, okay, from Ohio State. He doesn't need the money, but he's coming here already with a stain that Tite can't get out because his team that was ready to break up because of whatever is on their way maybe to bigger things. Who knows? They've won. They've been playing great ball lately, and they're playing today.
Yeah, I actually like them today.
I just have to stand up for my
guys. Well, good for you. Yeah, I'm glad I'm glad we kind of segued there and you brought it up because you're obviously very passionate about
it.
I hope it works
for
DePaul. It'd be nice if DePaul were relevant again. The fact that, you know, Mike, me, I asked Waddle and Sylvie yesterday, you got guys that do this for a living. Mike watches everything. That none of us watched a second of DePaul basketball. What does that say? It's terrible.
Tommy was on the sidelines next year, I don't care. You know, somebody said they'd like to have him as an assistant. You know what? Stay where you're at, Tommy. You're fine. Money was never your object. It's about just doing what you're doing. Just a class act has changed the culture of basketball. That used to be Gordon Tech, now DePaul Academy.
Oh, they changed the name. Okay, so he's at
the
alma mater. I don't know Gordon Tech. I don't think I knew Gordon Tech changed the name.
Yeah, and Tommy was a star at Gordon
Tech.
Yeah,
right, yep.
And now they travel. They don't even have their own gym. I'm just saying that this would have been an overwhelming popular choice, and believe me, folks, would have built the program because every kid knows who Tommy Kleinschmidt is. Every kid in this town.
All right, coming up next, we will get some ponies from Jim Miller. We'll give you our best plays before we're out of here. Don't go anywhere, folks. We're coming right back. We're the Odds Couple presented by Circa Resort and Casino.
This is the Odds Couple with Chicago radio legend Mike North and midday host Carmen DeFalco. The Odds Couple
on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Entering the home stretch on this week's episode of The Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino, it's time to get some expert handicapping from one of the best in the business. You follow him on X at Hawthorne Gym. He's the expert handicapper over at Hawthorne Racecourse, and he joins us every week on the CarX Tire and Auto Guest Hotline. And he's live in Vegas for a loaded weekend of sports. It's Jim Miller.
Jim in Vegas!
Boys, this is insanity. I'm sitting out here in the grand ballroom of the Horseshoe Casino. Over 500 contestants going to be playing in the National Horse Players Championship. And guys, this is a 3-day handicapping contest. Somebody's going to win nearly $1 million. Hawthorne Racecourse has 20 participants in this contest, so it is very cool to be out here, be on site, going to be broadcasting live all weekend, and it'll be a ton of fun.
Is this the one that Eddie O did real well in last year, or was that a different handicapping contest?
So he qualified for this one. This contest is the first time he qualified for it. Eddie has won some massive contests. He's been in the Keeneland contest, the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge, contests along those lines. And we're actually going to be talking to him this weekend. He won a contest at Hawthorne, guys, if you remember. He made about $85,000 earlier on in the year.
God bless
him. A man that definitely knows the stuff. He's not just a pretty face on air. He knows his horse.
That's unbelievable. So that's happening out in Vegas. Here at the track. Are we a week away from the, start of racing?
It's crazy. First day of entries is Tuesday for Hawthorne. We start on the 23rd on Saturday. Lots of horses on the grounds, too. So that's going to mean bigger fields, more races, and that's definitely something we're excited about for the meet.
You know, Jimmy, back in the day, well, even with Seabiscuit, Secretariat, they say that he'd walk into the stall and stare all the horses down. And, you know, they send through their body language, don't mess with me. Do you have any of that at Hawthorne? Are there like natural rivalries, horses that maybe when they see each other turn around, they want to go the other way? Or are horses usually, if they're not competing, just cool with each other?
They're usually cool with each other, but you know what? You can tell when there's a special horse, guys. And a great example, a couple of them. Cigar raced at Arlington about 15 years ago. And when Cigar raced there, he stopped at every corner of the barn and basically posed, knowing that people were going to take a picture of him. And then last year at Hawthorne, we were lucky enough to have two Phils who raced for Larry Ravelli, who finished second in the Kentucky Derby. He had similar mannerisms. He'd go around a corner, he'd stop. It would be almost like, hey, look at me, I'm this majestic animal, and he was, but it is. I think they know, and it's more the environment, too, because you're racing when there's a bigger crowd. You're going into the biggest races in the world, and you kind of take that in, too, and they're athletes that take it in just like any other athlete.
I love that. All right, so do we have big stakes races this weekend, Jimmy? What's the schedule look like?
So this is the down weekend for Derby preps, as all the 100-point preps are just around the corner, but there are stakes races across the country.
Okay.
So here's the three races we're going to bet across the board on all of these. So we're going to start at Oaklawn Park. Race 9 is the Whitmore Stakes, and we're going to bet the 2 Tejano Twist across the board. Then we're going to go to Turfway Park. Race 6 is the Queen Stakes. We'll bet the 12 Honey Pants across the board, and then go to Santa Anita, Race 8, the San Carlos Stakes. We'll bet the 4 Ghost of Midnight across the board. All of them should provide a little bit of value.
All right, so Oaklawn, all races on Saturday. Oaklawn, Race 9, the 2-horse across the board. At Turfway, Race 6, was it the 2-horse, Jimmy? Is that
the
right?
The 12, I'm sorry.
The 12-horse at Turfway, Race 6 across the board. And then Santa Anita, beautiful, Race 8, the 4-horse across the board. Is that right?
It's going to be a great weekend, guys. That's right. And then we got Selection Sunday just around the corner.
What a weekend to be in Vegas. Enjoy it out there. Have fun, Jimmy. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Good luck.
Jimmy!
There's our guy, Jim Miller, live in Vegas on the CarX Tire and Auto Guest Hotline. All right, Mikey, let's roll into some best plays for everybody for the weekend. I know you've been loving the golf. We got players this weekend. So what do we like, my friend?
I what a life. I'm like 15 again. I just sit in front of the TV while a lot of the kids are at school, but what are you going to do? Yeah. Hey, you know what? You heard of Chance the Rapper, Grandmaster Flash. I'm going to change my name just to Chicago Mike the Sports Guy because I'm ready to roll here today. You ready?
Let's go golf.
I'll start with my first guy. Yes, very good golfer, under the radar. I'm 3-4 in golf. You can go opposite if you'd like. He's plus 105 today. Siwoo Kim. On Bovada or PropSwap, you might be able to find him. Yeah, he tees off at 12:18. Hopefully, I know that the podcast will be up by then.
Mm-hmm.
Over Tommy Fleetwood, who always disappoints somewhere down the line. Usually on the weekend, I'm thinking he might have an off game today.
Siwoo Kim, there you go. All right, okay. I like that. You know, you were talking about Ohio State, the coach that left, who's now the coach at DePaul, Chris Holtman. Yeah. Buckeyes have been rolling. They play Illinois later today in Minneapolis in the Big Ten tournament. Buckeyes are catching 5 points. They have covered 5 straight as a dog of 5 or more. They've also won 5 in a row. I know those include wins against the likes of Michigan, Michigan State, and Rutgers. Not really a murderer's row. But you know what? A team playing for its tournament lives right now and another win could get them in. I think they're on Lenardi's first four out
now.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and say let's back the Buckeyes getting the five against Illinois later this afternoon.
Yeah, I like that pick. I like that one a lot. I got one more for everybody. And don't forget, today I got a parlay special where you can play them separately at 146 with our guy Carmen and Yurko. I'm going to go with Jason Day. Okay, who's a favorite of mine. He seems to be over his injuries. I just think they're giving him, the other guy, too much credit. I know he's a talented golfer. This is an imposing course. I saw Rory yesterday sailing. I mean, he was still with the lead, but he also, he hit one in the water. I mean, it's just a tough course. Jason Day plus 120 over Ludvig Åberg.
I like that. Getting the plus 120. Beautiful.
Yeah,
Jason Day and Siwoo
like
Kim.
Jason, he's just a veteran. He's a grinder. He knows how to play for the money.
Beautiful. Okay. I'll give one more.
Love when you give one more.
A little bit more of a lean, maybe not as strong as a play
lean,
as the Ohio State.
Maybe a lean.
But this game's coming up, though, folks. So if you're listening to the podcast early, this is a 1:30 game. We'll just throw it out there as kind of like a little bonus. Wisconsin.
Hey, that's a couple hours. Eric will have it up.
We got a couple hours. Yeah, Wisconsin shot the lights out yesterday, okay?
Yes, they did.
Northwestern today, and Wisconsin is the favorite. Look, the Badgers shot 50% from the floor. They were 16-25 from distance against Maryland. That ain't happening again. The Badgers are outside the top 110 in three-point percentage. Meantime, the Wildcats are a pretty good three-point shooting team.
Good team.
One of the 12 best in the country. Yeah, let's back Northwestern plus the 3.5 against Wisconsin as Wisconsin's going to play again this afternoon.
That's
so there you go.
Pick. We'll be rooting today. And now, ladies and gentlemen, yes, he attacked that omelet yesterday like a lion on a flamingo, ladies and gentlemen. And the kid's as thin as a rail.
A lion on a flamingo is fun.
I mean, you know, if you watch Donnie Brasco before he comes over, the kid, he's watching a lion just devour a, I don't know what they call him, a flamingo or whatever they are. Here he is, Eric O's betting show.
All right, I'm looking at an NBA game Friday evening here, Clippers at Pelicans. Mm-hmm. The line is set at 7.5 in favor of the Pelicans because the injury list of Russell Westbrook's out. Day to day is James Harden, but Kawhi Leonard is off the injury report now.
He played last night here. I wonder, will he play tonight in the second of a back to back?
He's not listed as day to day or anything right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say he's going to get some minutes, and that point spread is set for him thinking he's not. So I'm going to take the Clippers plus 7.5. They may not win, but I think they cover the 7.5.
I'll tell you what, Eric. Eric's been hot. He won last week, too, man.
There we go. Clippers plus the 7.5. Excellent stuff, boys. Eric, thank you, as always. Eric Ostrowski, thanks to Luke Pergandy, and thank you to Jim Miller. And thanks, most importantly, to everyone for listening to the show. Hope you enjoyed it. And next week's going to be great. We'll be full into the NCAA tournament. Enjoy the rest of this weekend, and then Selection Sunday, and the players, and everything else. And, Mike, I know you... You're not going to leave that basement. This is a dream setup and a dream weekend for you. So enjoy it, my friend. Happy wagering, and we'll talk to everybody again next Friday.
So long, everybody.
This is The Odds Couple
on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.